Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyways, the talk show where we are making the world a polite place to live. We discuss a variety of topics and always enjoy interacting with our listeners. You may join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. You may join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. Now here's your host, John Maxwell, certified speaker, 25 plus years, master trainer, and coach, Miss Donna.
Good evening, happy Sunday, and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Today is Sunday, September 12, 2021, and we are broadcasting live from the lovely, beautiful city of Atlanta. This evening, we will discuss Back to School Part 3. Back to School Part 3. So listen, please stay tuned. Well, since the name of the show is What is Etiquette Anyway, I always want to begin by answering that question. Of course, that would be appropriate etiquette, right? Well, etiquette is just a set of rules of behavior. By using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. And of course, I don't know if that's what you want, but I know that is certainly what I like. The word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket. It later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court. And you know what? These rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. Hey, kudos to Charles I and II. Well, once again, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is our Back to School Part 3 show. We took a break last week so that we could talk about the upcoming forgiveness conference. And so we are at Part 3 on this evening. Before we jump into it, let me give you our phone number, okay? A lot of times I get really excited and I just kind of jump in it and I forget. So, listen, feel free to reach out to us live at 516-418-5894, 516-418-5894, or you can simply send us an email at etiquetteladies@gmail.com. Well, the next voice you will hear is certainly no stranger to our show. Professor Markel Chapman has a master's in literature from the University of Houston. She's also an academic coach, a mediator, which with her emphasis on education, a professor of English. And some of her hobbies include vegetarian cooking and genealogy. In case you did not have an opportunity to join us for our second part, which she was on last 2 weeks ago, no worries at all. You will be able to go back and listen to that episode in its entirety, although I will have her just recap a little bit of what we talked about for those who may be joining us for the first time. And if that's the case, welcome, welcome to you. So I'm going to go ahead and bring on Professor Markel. How are you?
Hello. How are you? I'm doing just fine.
I am doing well. Happy Sunday to you. Hopefully it's been a great day.
And it has. Yes, we're having a little drier weather here in Houston. So that's a welcome change.
Wonderful, wonderful. Is it real hot or is it pretty comfortable there today?
You know, when it gets to 90 degrees in Houston, we're like, woo, cool breeze. So we're pretty happy.
That's pretty good. I know we had a nice little, well, kind of a nice little breeze today. I think about 83 when I was out last. So it wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad at all. But anyway, I am so glad that you have returned. I know one of the topics that was on the agenda the last time you were on, we did not have an opportunity to address it, and I've certainly received some correspondence regarding this. But we're going to certainly be talking about, and listeners, we're sorry we didn't get to it on the last show, but we promise you we're going to start out with it this week, and we will be able to cover it, which is a very interesting topic, which is public school to prison pipeline. And so that is going to be very, very interesting conversation, everyone, to say the least. It's been very interesting. I'm sure some of you are probably thinking, what is that about? And some of you are probably thinking, I can imagine exactly what it's about. And in fact, what I would like to do, well, let me have you, for the benefit, my good etiquette right now, for the benefit of those new listeners that are listening for the first time and they did not have an opportunity to hear the last show that you did or to hear a show, period, because they are brand new listeners, let me ask you if you would just do sort of a mini recap of what you covered on the last show, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure, sure. So, yes, again, I'm so happy to be here talking about back to school, and I'm so pleased to share just what I've noticed. I'm not only an educator, but I'm a mother as well, and have two beautiful children who've gone through education in so many different ways. You know, we have homeschooled. Our kids have been in private school, and they've been in public school. So I think we've covered a pretty large gamut of education. One thing that I see is that parents today have so many questions about how to best educate their kids. So in our second session, back to school session, we talked about how parents should be involved, and not only parents, but the community should be involved in the academic lives of the students around them, how we can advocate for the students, what talents we have that could be shared, the types of volunteer work that could be done. I encouraged our listeners to volunteer in the public school systems around them. Or maybe your church has a school. You can also volunteer, be a volunteer math tutor, be a volunteer reader, even in your public library system. Volunteer in those ways and get involved in a young person's life. So we've spent a lot of good time talking about those issues, and we even had some pretty good feedback from your audience, Donna. So that was wonderful. I really appreciated that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know we talked about it takes a village, and you mentioned not just the parents, but also, you know, the community, and that is, you know, as you said, that is extremely important. And I know we talked about as well that the students, they actually do better when there is parental involvement, community involvement. The teachers generally, you know, respond a little differently to these students who have parents involved than not, right? I know we mentioned that too. So
they certainly do.
Yeah, it's really, it's so important.
Yeah,
and it's
you
so
know,
important
putting my
throughout,
educators.
Right?
You,
It certainly is. When, you know, now I'm going to put my educator's hat on. And I will say, yes, when we see parents involved, actively involved in their child's education, it just forms a great community. It bridges a gap. We know that we're all in it together. We're rallying behind that child, and that child has a cheerleading crew, and that's fantastic. So, yeah, as an educator, I know that it's a wonderful thing to have positive involvement from others in the community.
Absolutely, absolutely. So if you want to go ahead and dive down into the heart of mainly why you're back again, because this topic is so, it's so important. In fact, just to kind of preface, I want to just read a quick email. It says, "Miss Donna, I have 3 black male sons, and I'm looking forward to the information that will be shared by Professor Markell Chapman. It is important for African-American parents especially to stay up to date on what can happen to our boys. Thanks for providing interesting topics each week." This is from Melvin and Joyce in Atlanta. Melvin and Joyce, thank you for that, and I agree 100% with your comment.
I do, too. Thank you so much, Melvin and Joyce. I have the same concern. And as an educator, when I have students in my class, I know that I have a responsibility. And there's an impact. And I'm speaking to the educators out here right now. There's a responsibility that we as educators have when a young person is in our grasp, when they have an opportunity to be influenced by us. That influence can last a lifetime. It can make or break a student, and we must be very cognizant of that. And then as parents, I can also speak as a parent. My husband and I have a son who will be 22. He'll be 22 at the end of this month. And we definitely have these concerns about him. And one thing that I, in my experience, my personal experience, I began to notice that there are more laws against the youth in our society than there are against adults. It's easier for a child to be criminalized than it is for an adult. So some of you are like, what do you mean by that? How can that happen?
I'm sure they're thinking, what?
It kind of reminds me.
Wow.
Yeah, how does that happen? It definitely happens. There are things that I can do that I would definitely not be criminalized for, but my child could do the exact same thing, and before you know it, they have a police record. They're in the system. And it's almost like a new Jim Crow law system for young people. And what do I mean when I say that? Well, here's an example. When our son was in the 10th grade, he was not driving. He depended on transportation from his parents, from us, or from the school bus system. And there were times when he happened to be late for school. He was late. He was never over 30 seconds late or a minute late at the most, but he would receive a tardy for being late and would have to go to the office and receive a tardy slip after, I believe, 4 or more tardies. Then he would receive some type of disciplinary action. After so many tardies, then what ended up happening. His name went to the truancy department of our county. So we ended up receiving a letter, a truancy letter, for his tardies. Now, mind you, he didn't skip school or anything like that. He wasn't driving his own on his own or anything. In many cases, he had no control over being late. But just like that, here he was, you know, creeping into the justice system and, you know, inches away from having the label truant used against him. Now, I, as an adult, can be late for work. Any of us as adults can be late for work. Are we going to receive a police record? Are we going to be criminalized for being late for work? No. We may be docked some pay or something like that if we work by the hour or some get paid by the hour. We could lose our job, but losing a job is not criminal activity. So in this way,
wow.
you see, Donna, how a simple act like that can lead a child into the court system, and that child could be labeled now a juvenile delinquent, and that child has no power
mm-hmm.
over the situation.
Mm-hmm.
What, wow. You know, so I got on the situation. So, yeah, just to tell the story again a little further, I definitely was concerned. I did not want our son to have that label against him. I didn't want anything on his record that would carry over for a lifetime. And I called the district attorney's office, and thankfully I was able to articulate our situation very well. And not only that, I was able to mediate for our son and ask that, okay, now that you understand the situation, you see that he never skipped school, you see the type of student he is. I mean, he was a straight-A student in high school, also a STEM student, a future engineering student. He's now an engineering student, a chemical engineering student at Purdue University, doing very well.
Yeah.
So I was able to stand in the gap for him and ask, can you please remove this from his record? I don't want this on
wow.
the record at all. Can it be expunged? And they complied. They did. They obliged. And but sometimes you just have to go the extra mile. You have to, you know, have enough faith. And I have enough faith in God to just ask for the most. And that's
mm-hmm.
what we as parents have
mm-hmm.
to do. And even we
wow.
in the community, if we want our, not just as parents, but if we want our community to be better and the next generation to be better, we cannot
mm-hmm.
be afraid to fight for these kids. We can't
mm-hmm.
be afraid to do
mm-hmm.
it. So,
wow.
You know, just to Terry, just to give another example, kids, there are so many kids who are who end up going into in-school suspension, or what they call it, ISS in some school systems, or maybe they, because of whatever happened in school, maybe there were fights, maybe they skipped school, or whatever the issue may be, maybe the child has mental health issues. Some of our kids also have disabilities. Did you know that 25% of students with disabilities and who may have some type of altercation in school end up being referred to police? And when I say disabilities, I'm talking about autistic kids. There was an autistic kid in a public school in Louisiana who threw Skittles at another child. That child was arrested. That autistic child was arrested and put in a juvenile detention center. Then we have 70% of children in juvenile detention centers who struggle with mental health issues. Whatever the mental health issue may be, they're struggling with that. Many of these students who struggle with mental health issues, these are young kids. I'm talking about 16 and under, are prescribed psychotropic meds. Now, I'm not a medical doctor, this would have to be further explained by a medical professional, but the statistics are out there that show how many of the kids, 70% of these kids in juvenile detention who take psychotropic meds and how they have side effects. They have physical and mental and emotional side effects from the meds that they have been prescribed. Well, if a child has some type of, they're exhibiting side effects, did you know that so many of those kids can be criminalized for side effects from meds? Whereas I, as an adult, can have a side effect from some type of medication, and I won't be criminalized. Not to the degree that a child would. So these are many of our concerns, and I'm sure some parents out there can speak to this. Some parents out there, some teachers out there can see the cause and effects that are going on in our school systems. And we need to talk about it more, and we need to come up with alternatives, because many of the things that we're doing are hurting our community more so than helping.
And I'm sure right now, and in case you all are just joining, the voice that you hear is Professor Markel Chapman. We're talking about the public school to prison pipeline. And what you're hearing her mention are some real life facts on how children can actually be set up to have a criminal record. Okay? And I know some of you probably have your mouth hanging open like mine in disbelief, but these are facts, and it is so important that we are aware of these kinds of things, and that not only are we aware, but to understand that we do have power, just like you heard her say when she, went to her school. To talk about her son being tardy a minute. Okay, this is a straight-A student, so it wasn't like he was oversleeping and just didn't want to go to class or anything like that. So this is really, really eye-opening and alarming, really, to say the least. And so that's what we like to do. We certainly do like to empower you on this show. And, of course, every time Professor Markel comes in, you know that you're certainly going to receive a lot of empowering information. And I am just – now, I do recall a few years ago, there was a five-year-old that they actually handcuffed this child because she acted out in class. The police were called, and she was kicking and screaming, and she accidentally kicked one of the police officers, or maybe not accidentally. She's 5 years old, and you have this big man, you know, trying to put you in handcuffs. And he did. He handcuffed her, and she was actually, you know, placed in the back of the squad car, and just the whole just dramatic nine. You just would not even believe something like that. When I first heard about that, I mean, my heart just really went out to that baby because that's what she is. She's 5 years old. And, you know, came to find out she was having, she was actually, her demonstration was from the side effects of one of the medications that she was taking, you know, just like you just explained.
Wow.
And all they know is that this child, in their eyes, she was being violent, okay, at five. Now, how violent can you be at 5 years old, a little girl? But, you know. But anyway, yeah, when I first heard about that, my heart really went out to this child because it has to be very devastating for her, number one. You know, you have this police officer, which anything bigger than her is big, you know. And you're grabbing this little child, and you handcuff her. Come on. And but I know that he ended up being reprimanded. But I mean, he actually should have been fired. That's just my opinion. Because this little girl's life will never be the same.
And that's my concern as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is my concern as well. How will this have, or what type of long-term effects would this have on a child, on a five-year-old? I wonder, where is she today? How is she doing? I remember seeing that. I didn't know that she was having, a response or, it was a side effect of the meds that she happened to be on. But one thing that many parents find themselves and it's like a catch-22. It's a quandary, you know. The child may have some emotional and violent behavior. And the child is, you know, in kindergarten, first grade, second grade. And that child may be hard to handle. And many schools will say, you know, if you want to keep this kid in the school, the child will have to be medicated or else they can't go to the school anymore. And many parents will go to a doctor. They have a referral to a doctor, and they're just trying to do what would work. They're trying to do the best. They're trying to do. They're looking for some type of solution. And teachers, if you can imagine a teacher who has 22 kids, 20 to 25 kids, in a classroom, that teacher wants to control the classroom as much as possible just to meet the learning goals that he or she must meet for the year. And so it's stressful all the way around, right? Even if the kids feeling the stress, the parents are feeling the stress, or whoever the caretakers are for the child, they're feeling the stress, and administrators, everybody's stressed out. So, you know, what do we do? What's the best way to handle a situation? And my suggestion, again, is reaching out to the community, that we become a caring community. That's one thing that we as individuals, if we can reach anyone listening on this line today. We are talking to you right now. Think about how you can be a caring individual in your community, in the academic space that you have influence over or that you're privy to. What can you do to help a single parent out, help a struggling family out? What can you do with one child if you decided to mentor a child? What would that look like? How would you do that if you work in the library system in your community? What can your library do for this targeted group? How can we make changes? So I think that if we talked about it more among, you know, as a group, as a family, as a community, more heads dealing with the situation can come up with some solutions instead of one person trying to beat their head against the wall, doing it all by themselves.
Wow, this is just really, oh my, very empowering information. And callers, please let me apologize to you. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right to the phones. And those of you that have sent messages, I am going to also address your correspondence that you're sending us. So, wow. And again, if you have joined late, no worries. You'll be able to go back and listen to the show in its entirety. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back in just a moment. And please don't go away. We'll be back.
There's something you can do right now that will ease the pain of arthritis in years to come. By remembering the Arthritis Foundation in your will, you can help us find ways to stop this serious, often crippling disease, a disease that affects one in every seven Americans. Call the Arthritis Foundation at 1-800-283-7800, 1-800-283-7800. It's time we took arthritis seriously.
Welcome to ProMixGlobal.com. ProMix Global will help solve your audio recording and production needs, whether it's song recording, mixing and mastering, CDs, commercials, IVRs, audiobooks, or general voiceovers. ProMix Global is the choice for you. Your project will be delivered on time and on budget. For additional information or to schedule your studio time, go to www.promixglobal.com. Once again, www.promixglobal.com.
This video is for parents and grandparents and for you, because you want your baby to thrive. For a baby, touch is talk. Touch is the most developed sense a small baby has. Skin-to-skin contact is a powerful way to communicate with your baby before your baby can talk to you. Give your baby the gift of feeling deeply connected to you. Give them a baby massage. Create a deep and lasting bond.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. You may join the conversation by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to MissDonnaSpeaks@gmail.com. Now back to the show.
Okay, we are talking about, of course, we know that it's back to school time. This is our part three show. We are having a conversation again with Professor Markel Chapman, and she is enlightening us on how, well, one of the main topics we're talking about is how our children can actually have criminal records, you know, at a much more alarming rate than us as adults. And if you didn't hear her state that, certainly go back and listen to the show in its entirety. And this is certainly going to be one of the episodes I'm going to definitely ask you to share with your community. I'm going to, I'm going to go to the phone. I will, you'll hear me identify the last four digits of your number, and you'll know that I am referring to you, okay? Extension 5682, 5682, hello? Extension 5682. Okay, they may be just listening, which is perfectly fine. Extension 1428, extension 1428, hello? Hello, extension 1428. Okay, they could be listening as well. We may circle back just in case there are any questions. Okay, so let me go ahead and I'm going to read. Let's see. Ms. Donna, I was looking forward to hearing the info regarding prison to public school or prison to public school, and then they have public school to prison. So, yeah, we understand. I am glad that Professor Chapman will be returning to explain it. Thank you. And this is from Nancy in Miami. Thank you, Nancy. And I know you're hearing, you know, a lot of information right now. Let's see here. Ms. Donna from, Ms. Donna, I retired from the public school system in New York, and it seemed that numerous black boys were set up to go to prison by being labeled. Please ask your guest if she can address this. I'm interested in her thoughts. Her info is always enlightening, and this says, thank you from, thanks for your show. This is from Marge. Marge, thank you for that.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah.
But Marge, that's, whoa, that's heavy. Okay. Let's kind of dive into the labeling system. And, it can work for some, and it can be a gift for some and a curse for others. So there are a couple of labels out there. So let's say a child is struggling in school, and maybe they're struggling with concentration, or maybe they're struggling to maybe they have reading issues. Dyslexia could be an issue, or dyscalculia could be an issue, ADHD, something like that. Whatever the issue may be, schools can create a special program for that student, a special learning program. They can give, make special modifications for that child. And so students can be put on an individualized education program, also known as an IEP, or they can be put on a 504 plan. And, it's just a specialized academic program with modifications. It can give a child more time to take a test. It can give them longer or more days in order to complete homework assignments. Maybe they won't have to do all of the same assignments that the other kids in the classroom would have to do. There are so many modifications. I know some students who have their paperwork printed on pastel paper, because the the black ink on white paper is too glaring for their eyes. So it can go in so many different ways. With an IEP, it's basically a special plan for for students who are in the special education program. And it can provide individualized special education and other related services connected to social workers and who can meet a child's needs. taxpayers pay for this, so this is a free service in the school system. Also, we did the same for the 504. It's offered by school districts, and the students are able to learn alongside their peers, but their learning, again, is modified, but they don't have to be isolated or separated from the group. But it sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty good. And it, like I said, for some students it works out, and for others it's the label can have a stigma. It can have a stigma. So one example is Khalif Browder. I don't know if you remember, Donna, the Khalif Browder story. He was a young man from New York who was falsely accused of stealing a backpack, and he was sent, at the age of 17, to Rikers Island, Rikers State Penitentiary. Do you remember that story?
You know what? Unfortunately, I do not, because there have been so many stories now.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, and it's sad to say, but there's been so many, you know, stories and incidents similar. Yeah. But for those, for those who are not familiar, can you give them, you know, just kind of a quick overview of that? Because I'm sure they're thinking, well, wow, what happened?
Okay. Khalif Browder, 17-year-old African-American student who also had been labeled in school. And I bet Marge knows, I'm sure she's thinking about this, this case. He had been labeled a truant in school. He missed many, many days of school. He was a low performer in school also. His grades were low. Figured, well, we must put him on, give him some type of modification. So he either had an IEP or a 504 plan, one of those. But when he was falsely accused of stealing a backpack, he was arrested, sent to jail. He was in the, you know, city jail. When his case came up before the judge looked at the labels that he had in the school system. Khalif Browder did not have a police record at all. He was not a violent person. He was a meek, kind, easygoing person. He had friends. He had a family who loved him. He was the education system definitely failed him in the fact that he was not thriving in his public school, in his New York City public school education system. He was not thriving. And he had labels, again, that eventually were used against him in the court system. And when the judge saw that he had these modifications, it was as though the judge judged him. You know, he used it against them. And he decided, yeah, this kid really is not thriving in society. And because of that, he decided to send that child to a very vicious, very vicious prison. And in Rikers, he was abused terribly. And there's a documentary on Netflix. The Kalief Browder story can be seen on Netflix if any of the viewers want to see it for themselves. And after being there he was traumatized, violated in so many ways. After 2 years, I believe, around 2 years of being there, the story comes out that he was falsely accused. He was sent home. At this point,
wow. He
had no education. He was a broken person. Although he was out, he did interviews. There are a lot of interviews. You can see that for yourself. But he was not able to make it, and Kalief Browder committed suicide.
Wow.
This did not have
to
happen. It didn't have to happen. It didn't have and like you said, Donna, this has happened so many times, and I'm sure Marge in New York has seen it happen over and over and over again. It just so happens that Kalief Browder's story made it to the mainstream, but so many stories don't make it to the mainstream. And, it's definitely a problem. But how do we solve this problem? What are some answers? How do we reach out to the community to solve this? And again, I say it's going to take all of our brains, all of our positive energy to come together in order to solve this. One thing that I would suggest is finding positive groups, extracurricular activities or positive groups in your community that helps turn the life around in a child. And, one of our favorite actors, Denzel Washington, is a great advocate for the Boys and Girls Club of America. He talks about how positive they were in his life, how after school that's where he went, and they had so many after school programs that involved him, that kept his mind stimulated. There were mentors at the Boys and Girls Club, and they helped him become the wonderful man he is today.
Absolutely.
And he has gone on, Denzel Washington has gone on to be so philanthropic. He's such a mentor. He's, he does so much for his community. So, he has become a gift that keeps on giving. So looking at programs in your community, I would say it would be so important. This is something that Kalief Browder needed. Had he been involved in something like this, maybe he would be with us today.
Wow.
There are other groups, the boy. Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you that the actual spelling of his name for people wanting to just kind of research him. The Kalief Browder.
Kalief Browder, Browder.
Okay. So Kalief, and then Browder, Browder. Wonderful. Okay. So for those who want to take a look at this very sad story, and as you were actually describing this, what I had in my mind was this was bullying. We hear about bullying when it comes to kids and kids bullying each other. And in fact, I was at an event last evening, and there was a grandmother. She was sharing a bullying story about what was going on with one of her grandchildren in a different state. And so as you were, and bullying is certainly real, it's real. And so telling that, sharing that story, the first thing I thought, I said, this is just, this is bullying. It's just not from child to child, you know, and bullying takes on so many different forms. You know, oftentimes when we hear about bullying, it's just involves children. But it's much, much more intense than just children bullying each other. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, guys,
yeah,
you are listening
that
to
is so
What
true.
Is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. In case you're just joining us, where have you been? Well, I understand. It's Sunday evening. But no worries. You'll be able to go back and listen to the show in its entirety. And I'm certainly going to suggest that you do that. It's a very powerful show. I'm going to go ahead and try to get in these other messages. Here's one. It says, Miss Donna Etiquette Lady, thanks for always providing useful tips on your show. My family and I have listened for 5 years now. Please keep up the good work. The Dell family in Maine. Thank you for that, Dell family. Let's see. Looking at another one here. Okay, Miss Donna, thanks for what you do on your show. I believe in the past you did a show on parenting. Would you consider doing a show again to give parents more information and help so we know how to help our children? I recall you stating you taught parenting workshops. Please help. Thank you. This is from Stephanie in Akron, Ohio. Stephanie, thank you for that. And absolutely, absolutely, there is a need. I also had a conversation last evening with a lady who is planning. She's actually writing blogs on parenting. She's an educator as well. And so, yes, absolutely. I will certainly once again put together a panel. Because, yes, this certainly needs, it has to be addressed. It's so important. It is so important. And, you know, we do these shows so that we can, you know, enlighten and inform and educate. But parenting, you know, Markel, I always say that parenting, being a parent is the most important job that you can ever have. But in order to do this job, you don't have to have any kind of experience. I mean, the most important job.
Yes.
Generally, when you go on a job interview, what do they ask you for usually? You know, what's your experience?
Your experience.
You know, they want
your
experience.
Education. Yes.
Exactly. And this is the one job that you have to have no qualifications for whatsoever, and it is the most challenging and the most rewarding job that there is. But I don't know about you, Markel, but I didn't walk out of the hospital when I had my child with a actual, you know, a directory of this is how you parent this child from when you're taking him home 1 day or 2 days old through to adulthood. There's
That's
no such
right.
thing.
That's
you know?
Right. Yes, I
they give
the
you
same
some
way.
Diapers.
I was like, you want me to
yeah.
leave?
Right. Like, okay, what am I supposed
yeah.
to do?
You
oh, you'll,
to leave,
figure,
really?
You'll figure it out. Yeah, yeah, you'll figure it out. So these types of forms are so important to have, and I certainly, you know, want to ask you if you would certainly be willing to be a part of the panel to actually – you know, to return to do an actual parenting workshop. I say this week after week, if there are any, if you guys have any topics you would like to hear us cover, to let us know. And Stephanie has let us know, and we absolutely are going to do this because you, I mean, there's so much information.
Absolutely. You count me in.
Okay, okay, wonderful, because the parents don't know. I mean, a lot of times you don't know what you don't know. And it is forms like this.
True.
Just for, you know, with the example that you gave with your son about him being a minute late, and then they, you know, or they wrote him up, and this is going to actually – it's going to stamp him, if you will, for his future. a lot of parents don't know that they can actually go and say, look, you know, this isn't right. Look at his record, so on and so forth. A lot of parents just say, well, you know, okay, even though he's not a bad kid or anything, but what can I do? And like you said, I believe early on, oftentimes, you know, we as parents feel powerless. And I know I talk about that all the time. I remember when I would do parenting workshops, and I would just around the country, and it doesn't matter which state, someone says, I don't feel comfortable approaching my child's school. I don't feel comfortable approaching the administrators. I mean, I would hear that time after time. And so some of the things, too, we will do is to help give you some tips and pointers on how to help you to feel comfortable, because it is so important. You just, you know, you have to do it. And
yes.
You just have to do it. And to know that
you do. And just to add to that, just to add to that, that's where your community comes in, you know, to help. And we all need a team. I would say think about who's on your team. Start getting that team together. Who can help advocate for your child? Who can help articulate letters for you? Do you have a mediator? Reach out for mediators. This is something that I do as a mediator, as a facilitator even. Who can you get to help you in those situations when you're a bit uncomfortable? After a few times, parents will become very comfortable. They just have to see it modeled. They see that model done, you know, a few times, and, yeah, they can do it on their own.
Wow. Well, we are down to about 2 minutes, guys, and this has been a pretty heavy show this evening, and I want to thank Professor Markell so much for always bringing such wonderful and enlightening and powerful information to us. And I see a note asking, when are we going to have the parenting workshop? Okay, so are you available by any chance next week? Because evidently this is something it's very pressing. If you are available, I will just put together a panel for next week, so we can just come back while this interest is there. And okay, so listeners, what we'll do, we're going to go ahead and schedule this parenting forum on next week, okay? Because wow, this has been really powerful, and it's a need, and we have to address it. We have to address it, and know that we are going to certainly help you as much as we possibly can. So I will put together a panel for next week. And we're running out of time. Listen, I want to say thank you again so much, you guys, for you know, sending your correspondence. Thank you for listening. We certainly do appreciate you. We don't take you for granted. And you know, the loyal listeners as well as if you're listening for the first time, okay? Again, if you have a topic you'd like to hear us discuss, let us know. We're going to certainly try to do all we can to do it. All right? Remember the golden rule, treat others and each other, the way you want to be treated. That is the golden rule. So important to do that. Never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold those virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. It happens to be Proverbs 3:3, one of my favorites. And remember, initiate an act of kindness this week. Thank you again, Professor Markell. We will talk again next week. Guys, certainly come back and join us. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Take care. Oh, you're so welcome.
Good night.
You guys continue to stay safe. Yes, and good night.
There is a lot of uncertainty going on in our world today, but you can be certain that Miss Donna, also known as the Etiquette Lady and What Is Etiquette Anyway talk show, will be here to continue to encourage you. Stay safe and be encouraged.
Thanks for listening to What Is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Please join us again next time as we will discuss another exciting topic.